Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you are tuned in to Yizer, Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves. Let me tell you a little bit about this show. This is a talk show that is all things women. Any issues that plague females from early childhood to senior citizens, I am your host, Renita Graves. Tonight's topic will be domestic violence. I want to dedicate tonight's show to my niece. Her name is Netria Lyons. She was a victim of domestic violence and was killed back in June, on June 25th. So my very first show is dedicated to her and my best friend, who is a survivor of domestic violence. Her name is Dana Keys. Let me welcome Dana. Dana?
Hello, Renita. Thank you for having me.
as you did say, I am a survivor of domestic violence, and this is a, you know, a pretty touchy situation that's affected many homes today when you think about the number of people that it is affecting. This is a very awesome topic that I do think that you decided to cover tonight. Just grateful to be here with you and to be part of it.
Thank you so much for being a part of this show. Like you said, it is a very, very touchy subject. A lot of people don't know that there are a lot of victims and there are a lot of survivors. According to the statistics of the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, there's an average of 20 people per minute who are physically abused by their significant other. So a breakdown of that is roughly 10 million people a year. That's one in every three women and one in every four men that are being abused in their lifetime. That's a lot.
Yes, it definitely is.
That's a lot. I'm going to play a clip for everybody. This is a very heartbreaking clip of a young lady in Indianapolis, Indiana, that went through domestic violence. I just want to share a little bit of her story.
Actually, I'm pretty good spirits. I'm just happy to be away from him. He was more or less, before this, he was getting mentally abusive towards me, and I was trying to leave him, so I'm just happy to not have mean words being said to me every day right now.
What was there a fight that
led to it? Not necessarily. We were at a wedding. He was a groomsman. I was a bridesmaid. The groomsmen were having entirely much more fun, and the bridesmaid started drinking at like 9 in the morning, and I thought it was much later than it was, but it was like 11:30, and he had been drinking up until then, and the groom and the bride were ready to go, and he wasn't. I wanted to go, and he didn't like that. He wasn't ready to leave. He dragged me into the car, was squeezing these three fingers, and was telling me we have friends coming over following behind us to clean up my act, clean up my face, stop crying, and we have friends coming over. I didn't want to argue with him because it had been a month of already just name-calling and arguing, so I just was like, whatever. I went back to our bedroom. I laid down. I leave the door open when I sleep so I can hear out in the living room. He started calling me names like an F&B, C word, and then he proceeded to tell his friends that if they ever wanted to F me, here was their opportunity. Like, go ahead in the bedroom and go. His friends didn't like what he was saying, and they started to fight with him. When they started to fight with him, that made him mad, and I got up. I could hit, you know, I was mad, so I got up and went down halfway down our hallway because I knew how mad he could get, and I didn't want to get close to him. And I told him, and teary-eyed, crying, like, what did I do? Like, what did I do for you to say these things that you're saying? And he just looked at me with this scary stare and just kind of puffed his chest, breathing, like, you know, just a couple times. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to talk anymore. And I went back to our room and laid back down, and he proceeded to keep talking bad about me. And his friends, again, didn't like it, and they started to fight him about it. But this time it got physical, and he ran back to our room and locked our door and started to choke me in my sleep. His friends came back to our room, busted our door down, got him out, took him out front somehow, because his friends are my size, but he's a big guy. So somehow they got him out. And I ran to the bathroom and was coughing up blood, freaking out, looking at my neck, just screaming for help. And he somehow got them all down and locked.
Excuse me. Oh, sorry.
and locked the door, locked them all outside, and came back to the bathroom where I was and told me to stop screaming, you know, told me to shut up, and then proceeded to reach with his fingers and rip my tongue halfway out from here to here, the right side all the way, and it immediately started pouring blood, and I freaked out, was screaming even harder, and he tried to suffocate me with my own blood. He put his hand right here and plugged my nose, and I couldn't breathe. I was flailing, was freaking out. And his friend Nick heard, you know, me freaking out, hear me screaming and crying. And we have a tiny little glass window on our big door, and he busted that and unlocked the door. And Nick was obviously scared of Ryan at this point, and he just told him the cops are on the way and just be prepared.
Wow. That's sad and heartbreaking. When you have people that witness, that try to help, that try to intervene, and nothing stops a person from beating on you. That's a sad story. Dana.
Yes, ma'am.
As we mentioned earlier, you are a survivor. Do you want to share your story?
It's not so much as sharing it. I mean, just based off of what she was saying and going off of what you said, that's kind of one of the things that a lot of people don't understand when it comes to domestic violence is it doesn't just hurt the person that's involved. It hurts. It goes deeper into the family. And then a lot of people are so intimidated and scared to get involved, which makes it worse for the person being abused. A lot of people don't know how to approach someone who they themselves feel is being abused. How do you go to a family member and say, hey, are you in an abusive relationship? And what if you're incorrect? What does that do to the relationship between, let's just say it's one of your siblings, let's just say it's one of your children? So it is one of those things where people kind of stand off from it in that whole, I'm just going to mind my business. And that's what makes the statistics and the numbers so high, because there's so many people that aren't reaching out, getting the help that they need, and there's so many people that's just minding their business. Domestic violence is not one of those situations where you just mind your business.
And I understand that. But what if you do get involved in somebody, in your family member or your friends, and then it turns around and backfires on you? It's kind of a tricky situation.
Exactly. It's a you know, one of those situations where do I get involved and do I mess up the relationship? Because the number one thing I can just say myself and the things that I experienced, there's been times where the hardest thing is to reach out to someone and say this is taking place, you know. But when I look back, when I look back over different situations where how do you ask someone for help that can't help you? When you're in a situation, because domestic violence, it doesn't discriminate. It's age, it's gender, it's financially. You know, the person that is the abuser, they do things emotionally, psychologically, financially. A lot of times the person that is the abuser is the breadwinner. How do you say, I'm going to take myself out of this situation, when you absolutely have nowhere to go? A lot of people scared to get involved because they don't want that person coming to their home doing things. So it's one of those catch-22 situations where you have to say, you know, at some point you have to say, you know what, this is my family member and this is the person that I love, and whatever it takes, I'm going to get involved. There are a lot of signs there. There were so many signs in my situation that I think a lot of people overlook. Hiding behind sunglasses, coming up missing for a little bit of time, or all of a sudden, you know, you got a family member who's just out of the blue, hey, I'm going out of town for a week, just give you a call and, hey, I'm going to be out of town for a week. No, there's a lot of times that's just hiding scars and abuse.
That's a lot. And everything that you're saying is true, and I couldn't imagine going through those situations and being in a position where I had to put my family members, or wish that my family members could see that I'm going through that, and hoping that somebody comes and helps me out in my situation, and having no way to go anywhere or nowhere to turn. I see we have callers in the queue, but before we go to the callers, I want a word from our sponsor, Digital Guard.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio. Against All Odds with Renita Graves. I want to check in with caller number one. Caller number one, are you listening or do you have a shore you want to stay?
Am I caller number one?
You are.
Hi, it's your sister-in-law. And I'm just very proud. I'm very encouraged with the platform that you've taken to stand up for women.
Well, thank you.
I myself, I actually reached out to you when I was going through my situation with my ex-husband. So I just appreciate you being there for me, and I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank you. And don't
You're
ever
welcome.
Feel like you can't reach out to me.
I don't. I love you, and I appreciate you. And I am so glad that you are really listening to God. And really stepping into what you've been called to do. So I'm
thank
so proud
you,
of you.
And I appreciate you helping out and promoting and listening to the show and sharing your story. Do you want to share your story?
I'll probably wait. I'll wait, but I definitely
okay, well, thank
it.
You for
I'll
calling,
wait.
And I hope you continue to listen.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to caller number two. Caller number two, are you listening or would you like to share your story? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is caller number two.
Am I number two?
You are. Please state your name.
This is Shauna, sister. This is Shauna.
Hi, Donna.
How are you?
I'm fine. Are you listening or are you calling to share your story?
I'm calling to share my story.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Well, first let me say thank you for bringing this topic to a surface, because it is something that is going on every day. And then it is a subject that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And then also thank you for pushing me to begin to tell my truth.
You're welcome.
For me, my domestic violence situation began at a young age. I was actually 17. who would have thought being a senior in high school, you're supposed to be enjoying your senior year, that you would have been thinking that you were in love and what you thinking is love and getting ready to graduate to go to college, but instead you're hiding because you're getting beat behind closed doors. And as Dana mentioned earlier about hiding, I did it a lot, and I lived in the same home with my mother. She never even knew anything. You know, to have somebody wake you up in your sleep with water to try to drown you in your sleep, to take and throw acetone all on your clothes and ruin your stuff, to punching you in the face and, as she said, choking you with your own blood. I think they get a rush out of seeing you suffer, and then they think saying that they're sorry is okay. So ripping your clothes off and trying to taking you outside naked to where you will be humiliated in front of people. And this is a lot to have to go through at the age of 17. To make this short, it came to an end when he came and broke into my house and tore up all of my things, like my bed, yeah, my clothes, my all of my senior memorabilia, and then choked me and told me to scream for my mother, because that's what I wanted, was my mom. And then to drag me through the bushes and hold a knife and tell me I should kill you right now, but I'm not going to do it. It really took a lot out of me, you know, because I didn't understand why it was happening to me. And it's emotional, as Dana said. It tears you down, and it takes years to, because you always go back to not feeling good enough, not being pretty enough, or not understanding. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the smile that you hide behind and the things that you may, you're really broken, because it also leads to other things. I thank you because you weren't around during that situation, but when I was in another situation, which was an emotional abusive relationship, you helped me a lot, and you helped me to stand and push forward. And one thing I can say is you never let me fall, even at my darkest times, you dog. You always made me keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. So, you know, for those that are listening and that may be going through it and don't want to talk about it, I say talk about it, you know, because you never know who may be going through that same situation or who have gone through that situation. And your story may help somebody. And you don't know how many teenagers might be going through that, so watch your children. Because my mother never knew, and she was in the same house, never knew I had black eyes, never knew any of those things, because I just shut down and hid everything. So.
But, Shauna, let me ask you a question. At what point did you realize that your relationship with this person was going downhill? Were there any signs that he was abusive? Did he verbally abuse you? Like, at what point did it get to be physical?
It just happened all of a sudden. I never saw it coming. I never thought that it would happen. It's like a mental thing. They play a really good game, you know, to wheel you in. It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I never saw it coming. I just, one day it happened. And I guess the fact that I was young and really didn't think nobody wanted to date me, you know, I didn't walk away from it at first. The first time he hit me, I should have. you know, but I didn't, because I felt like I had, he made me to believe psychologically that I was doing something wrong to make him do it.
Wow. And see, up until recently, I would have never known that this is something that you went through. I do want to thank you for sharing your story with the public. I think you're very brave. I think you're very courageous. And I think that someone out there, a 17-year-old that may be listening, or a family member that may be listening, and even those that come back on after the show is over and listen to the show through Victim Stoppers Radio, that your story will be able to help someone. Like you said, we never know exactly who is going through this. And even though our youth may be going through this and we don't know, your story may be able to help them. So, I mean, even without knowing that I've helped you with the situation, just being me, anytime you need to talk, please feel free to give me a call.
Yes, ma'am. Always.
Again, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, sharing your story.
You know, Renita, before you go to the next call, just to the last two callers, and just to piggyback off of that, you know, everything, especially the last caller just said, a lot of people, like you said, it doesn't have an age. And just her going through it at a young age, I can definitely relate to that. Mine started at a young age, and at that age, you're just entering into adulthood. So, you know, that's your first time you think that, you know, you just head over heels, you're in love, and you really don't realize that, you know, this person, they start, a lot of it starts mentally before it starts physically. So you become dependent on this person. You become head over heels with this person. They take control from the inside and the mindset. So the first slap is followed by an, oh, I'm so sorry, and I love you, and this and that. And as a young person, you know, at that age, or even as an adult age, when you become dependent on somebody or you believe that person just loves you unconditionally, oh, they are just sorry. You know, it's no different than, you know, you look up somebody, you know, do something. So you say sorry, you move on. So, you know, the first slap starts with that. Well, then it goes to the second one. And then you start be feeling sorry more for that person, or what did I do, or what could I have done different? What could I have done wrong? And you, and it starts turning to it's a your fault situation. And, you know, and just like you said, it does get to the point where you'll be around so many people. I know I hid mine for so many people. I mean, if you, I mean, you know me, you know how close my sisters and I are, but neither one of my sisters can even say we knew this was going on until it got to the point where I practically lost my life behind it. Well, I did lose my life. And one of my sisters had to literally sit there and watch me lose my life.
But oh, my God. You know, it's crazy. So what you're saying is the abuser kind of turned into like a manipulator and had you thinking
right.
that I only did this because you did something to provoke me.
And that's what it turns into. It starts turning into a, or it turns into the, you know, lowering of the self-esteem. Well, you know, a lot of times people are in domestic violence situations. I've run into people, I've had the opportunity because being a survivor, doing a lot of the domestic violence walks and really getting involved and just educating myself, staying up on the training and just, you know, being there wanting to be involved in things to help people, you start hearing different stories and you have, you know, you think if you have a woman with three children who's being abused by her husband who's never worked a day in her life, well, ultimately this is the breadwinner. So what does he tell you as he continues to beat on you? Well, where are you going to go? You don't have anybody. Where are you going to live? Now you're going to be
That's
homeless.
True.
Now you tell me how you get slapped by somebody and then you say, you know, enough's enough, and you pack up your children and you get to the end of the driveway, where are you going? You don't have a dime. What are
you
doing?
You don't have a place to go.
So ultimately you start thinking, I can deal with this. It's not that bad. He'll get better. I'll do things different. I'll do something. Okay, I won't make him mad. I'll do things different. When he comes home from work, I'll do something a little different. You become yourself feeling the guilt and feeling more sorry.
Wow. So the abuser becomes the manipulator. And the person being abused becomes a person that wants to do something better so that they won't be in that situation. I'm starting
exactly.
to understand this a little bit more because I can tell you honestly, after my niece was killed, I couldn't understand what would make somebody want to fight a person, beat a person to the point of near death. We'll get back to our conversation, Dana. I have a few more callers. I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to take another break. And I'm going to read a few of these emails that I received, and we're going to take the rest of the calls. So I'm going to go to caller number three.
Hello?
Caller number three. Hello. Are you calling in to share your story, or are you just listening?
Am I caller number three?
You are caller number three. Are you calling to share a story, or are you just listening?
I'm just calling to listen and tell you congratulations. This is Trina.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Trina.
Hi.
I appreciate you calling in to listen, and I hope you continue on with the show. This show will be airing every Thursday, Eastern Standard Time, from 8 to 9, and we'll have a different issue every week unless something happens and the issue needs to continue on for a part two. So I'll put you back on hold so you can continue to listen, and I want to thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to caller number four, and then we'll take a break. Caller number four, are you calling in to share your story, or are you calling in to listen?
Listen.
You calling in to listen? Okay, thank you. I'll put you back on hold. Okay, so all the callers so far are calling in to listen. I'm getting ready to take a break. I want to play another clip. This clip is talking about teen domestic violence.
They had warned her that she was in an abusive relationship, that her boyfriend didn't want her on the cheerleading squad, didn't want her wearing a bikini, and that he was driving a wedge between her and her friends. It appears that when she finally decided she wanted out, it was a fatal decision.
August 15th, 2007, at about 6:20 in the evening, by panicked neighbors who heard terrifying screams. The first officer on the scene sees a neighbor outside helping a bloodied teenage girl struggling to talk.
I positioned myself so she was crouched up against my leg to support her.
Police discover the bloodied girl is an attractive, popular 16-year-old Gateway High School cheerleader. She'd been stabbed 16 times. And just a few feet from the dying cheerleader, police find her killer, her 18-year-old boyfriend, who'd used the same knife to slit his own throat.
John Malarkey's going to do life in prison. Demi Kusha, her life's over. I mean, on that day, you know, he took everything she was and everything she was ever going to be. There are no winners in a case like this. There are only degrees of loss.
Dating abuse is rampant among young people. They are involved in relationships just like adults. Those relationships mirror adult relationships in the level and severity of violence, and they are just sometimes as dangerous as adult abusive relationships.
The so-called a secretive topic, teen dating violence. There are ways to get help, but for an Olympic high school cheerleader, it's too late. She was in love. A star athlete. A cheerleader in and out of uniform.
No matter what happened in our life, she never gave up.
Sharnay Watts' desire to never give up may have cost her life.
That was a wrong choice.
Grandmother Shirley Rogers says Watts returned with boyfriend Gary Daniels. Over the weekend, police say Daniels, also 18, shot the Olympic high senior.
She had broke up with him. And she was doing good, you know. But maybe they were just trying to get back together at that time. It might be that he didn't want her to break up with him.
They had warned her that she was in an abusive relationship, that her boyfriend...
Okay, everyone, I'm back. You're tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, and you're listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves. My special guest for tonight is Dana Key. Before I go to the next caller, I want to read one of the emails that I received in regards to this show. This email is from a lady named Sheila. And her email reads as follows. Hello. My name is Sheila, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I heard about your show through a friend in Atlanta. My friend was just talking, never knowing
that I've been doing what I've been going with for the last few years.
She moved from Memphis right where I met my boyfriend, and she doesn't really know him. 6 months after we started dating, he slapped me in front of my friends at a cookout. It was out of the blue and there. I didn't know why he slapped me. We were sitting in the backyard talking and laughing, and the next thing I know, he got up and slapped my face. Everyone was stunned, and none of the guys said anything. I just got up and left. I was so hurt. He told me later that he saw me checking out one of his friends that was cooking on the grill. But in reality, I was looking at everyone that was there trying to interact with his friends. The promises came and went, and it went down there, down there. He has hit on me at least twice a month. The first time he hit me, I've called the police, and they have done nothing. Because he's not there when they come. I've lost two jobs because of this. I call him so much. I'm scared to death of him, and he uses that to intimidate me. I'll be listening to your show, and hopefully I will be able to hear someone that has made it through my situation so that I can get away. I don't want to live like this anymore. Thanks. Ooh. Well, Sheila, I'm going to give you the National Domestic Abuse Hotline number. That number is 1-800-799-7233. If you want to leave, and I know you may not have a place to go or whatever, give that hotline a call before it gets too late. Okay, I'm going to go to our next caller. This caller has a phone number ending in 5007. Caller, are you listening? Or are you calling to say a story?
I am listening and just calling to make a comment. Hello, this is Coffee. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling, first of all, to tell you how proud I am of you. You know, I know this is not an easy subject for you. I know you're still dealing with the loss of your niece, but, you know, the fact that you're willing to try to help others is just a testament of the person that I know you are, and now the rest of the world will know that you are. You know, I'm not going to tell my story because in my mind, if I tell it, it gives it life. But I've been through this situation. I've seen so many women go through this situation. And, you know, I just want to tell anybody out there listening, you know, the key word is you're going through it. You know, if you're strong and you rely on people, you'll come out the other side, but you have to talk about it. Secrets live because we keep them a secret. Once you put the light on them, they like roaches. They scatter. So if you just tell somebody what's going on, I promise you it'll get better. But holding it, you know, holding it in and keeping it a secret just it's like feeds it. You got to shine a light on it. These people that's doing this, they're cowards. Cowards thrive in the darkness. When you put a light on a coward, they disappear. So just tell anybody. You know, that's all I wanted to say. But like I said, I'm proud of you, and I wish you luck. I'll be here every week.
Thank you so much. If you ever want to share your story or want me to read it online, just feel free to email me at gmail.com. I appreciate you calling.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone, I will be posting helpful resources on thestoppers.com,
my blog page. You can go to that page and listen to, and log on, and recap on what we've talked about, and I'll also be posting helpful resources for those that are listening and want to weigh out, but don't want to call and tell their story or don't want to email their story. Even though you may think that there is no way out of the situation that you're in, it really is. It's always someone out there that is willing to help. But I don't want you to ever feel like you're alone. I want to go to the next caller. Call ending in 1149. Hello?
Hey, Renita. Renita?
Yes.
This is Tamiko.
Hi, Tamiko. Are you calling to tell a story or are you just listening?
No, I'm just listening to everybody. I actually just logged in because I just got in. But, no, I'm just on the line to support. I don't actually have a story. I'm been a little fortunate on that one. So I'm just tuning in to just hear some people's stories.
Well, thank you so much for enjoying the show so far. I appreciate you calling in to listen.
All right. I'll be here every week.
Thank you. I'll put you back in too.
Okay.
Okay, I have a few
more
emails.
This one in particular.
It's very near. Because I actually talked to her person about that, I was hoping that she would have called to tell her story online. But she hasn't. So I'm going to read her email.
And she signed it A.
It says, I'm just going to go by the name A. I know that you know who I am because I talked about my situation the other day. But I do want you to read my email on the show if you have time. I am a 39-year-old African-American female who has been in a relationship for the past 15 years. I have tried living with him six times already, but I've given up on any hope of ever being able to stay away. Every time I look at him, all I see is the depth. I hate this man. The police in the county are horrible. I have filed a restraining order on him and refused to lock him up. So I just call him together. They won't do anything because he's one of them. He will not move out of the county because he knows if he does move anywhere else, they will probably lock him up. I also have two daughters, age 14 and 16, that I have sent back home to Indiana because I was scared for them. I kept my son here the other day when another car broke out in my house. I know my husband and I are not going down to the ground. He swears that he picked them up and moved them out of the way, and he failed. Now, I know I'm not crazy, even though sometimes I feel like it. This was the only time he ever lashed out on our son. But I wanted to be glad. I don't know what to do at this point. I know that one day he is going to end up killing me, or I'm going to get tired of this mess and kill myself, because honestly, I'd rather be dead than be dealing with psychopathy. When I say, you don't know how much your hug actually helped me feel a little bit better. If I decide to call him, maybe give me a number or something that I can call for help, real help.
Because now I'm lost.
Thanks again for just being you. I wish you much success with yourself. That was deep. So what do you do when your abuser is part of the police and nobody in the police station will do anything about it? How do you handle a situation like that when there's a public authority figure that is abusing you? Well, there is help here in Atlanta. There's a crisis hotline. Phone number 404-688-9436. And honestly, had you told me that this is the bottom part about you wanting to be dead, I'll come and move you myself. Your letter makes me want to just cry. I didn't know I was going on, and I'm glad that my hug kind of helped you feel a little bit better. Dana, do you want to chime in a minute? Hello? Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, I mean, I understand,
and it's sad because one thing I could say, one of the situations that I faced is, you know, pretty much like what she faced. You know, my person, you know, my abuser was not part of the police force, but a pretty popular person, and carried a lot of weight. So when you get to the point where you're like, when you feel like, who can honestly help me? And what can I do? Where do I go? When you don't have a place to go, you don't have help. There are times you feel like, you know, the only way this is going to stop is by death. And sad to say, you know, the most horrific part about my situation is the fact that he took my life is what saved me from him. By the grace of God, I survived. But that was as horrible as it sounds, that was my way out. And a lot of people don't survive that. And that is what's so scary. And then here you have, you know, someone who's even abusing your children. A lot of women need to know that regardless of, a lot of it is embarrassment. You're embarrassed to say that this is what I'm going through. Who wants to uproot their whole family to somewhere they, you know, there's a lot of shelters out there that can help women, but there's a lot of pride behind a lot of women, too, to say, I'm not going to take my children and my family and go live in a shelter and finally expose to the whole world that this is what's going on. And we have to, as women, or even men, because men are abused too, but we have to, as people that are in these situations, say, you know what? Pride over everything. I want to survive. I want to live. I deserve to live, and I deserve better. And you have to look at the, you know, unfortunately my situation, my child was involved as well, you know. So my son could have been hurt. So you have to eventually say, you know, the last person that, you know, you just read, she's tired. And it's getting to the point where her only way out is she feels that, you know, just taking her own life. That's not the only way out. There are ways out. You just have to sometimes let your pride down and say, you know what, if I have to relocate to another state and go stay in a homeless shelter, because of the life of myself and my kids, I'm willing to start all over. I'm willing to get away, and I want something different. You have to, and it's hard. It's not easy, but you know, there's help out there. It's just we have too much pride, and we're embarrassed behind it. It gets embarrassing that this is what you're going through.
But at one point, I'm tired of living life, and I can't let you just beat on me. Like you can't sleep next to me. And I understand what everybody is saying. But
you know, any person, you have to be
your feelings come first.
Well, and I don't think any caller, I don't think anybody listening, I don't think any caller, I don't think anybody who has been through this situation has ever let anybody just beat on them. And I was one of those people, it's unbelievable because if you knew me growing up and you knew my past and my whole family and anybody that knew me knew, you know, I was the toughest person in my family. I'm the toughest person. I think I can fight King Kong if he got in front of me. So when it came out or people were saying little things that I think this is happening, I had more of my family in denial saying, no, not her, because the same thing you're saying, no, she wouldn't dare let that man put her hands on it. She wouldn't dare. She'd do this, she'd do that. Well, I didn't never let him just hit me. However, as I said before, you start getting, you know, your mind manipulated or you start getting the threats. There were times where I was threatened where, if you leave me, this will happen. If you leave me, I can have something happen to somebody in your family. If you leave me, I'll do this. So there comes a time where you say, you know, me, I love my family unconditional. Something that happened to one of my family members is worse than something that happened to me. So in my eyes, I started looking at the fact like, you know what, a black eye versus something happened to my family member, I can take it. A busted lip, a broken rib, a broken arm, I can take it.
Yeah, that has to be something real difficult for you to live with.
You don't authorize the behavior, but there comes a time where sometimes it gets out of control. It's almost like a fire. Any kid that starts a fire in a room didn't expect it to spread and burn down the whole house. Nobody expected that a slap to turn into something so physical and so abusive and even take someone's life. You don't think that. So, you know, you don't just let it happen. It just happens, and it just sometimes gets too out of control.
I tell you, my heart goes out to you, Shauna. All the callers that have called together, and the people that have emailed me. I see I have another caller that just came in. Caller, are you calling in to listen, or do you want to share your story?
I want to share a story.
Okay, can you please state your name?
My name is Lance.
Hi, Lance.
Hey. So I just want to make it brief. Pretty much my best friend, she passed away from domestic violence. And with her situation, she knew there were warning. She saw the warning signs, but she didn't pay attention to them. And it got to a point where it was a little too late. And he actually murdered her in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was premeditated. He went to Home Depot. He bought what he needed to. He stabbed her in the back and in the chest, in the heart. I say to any woman, man, whoever, oh, there's always warning signs. And when those warning signs show up, that's a red flag for you to go. Because you don't want to wait till it's too late.
Well, Lance, did you know that she was going through this?
I didn't know. And that's the thing. You know, people have a way of hiding things like that very well. So, I suggest to any woman, like I said, talk to somebody, tell somebody, and leave that situation alone before it gets too late. And now she has two kids that's left without a mother.
Let me ask you this, from a man's perspective, did you notice anything that was out of order? Was she acting differently? Were there any signs that you could tell she was going on something?
I mean, she became MIA for a while, but no one didn't notice the signs. No one noticed anything different out of the ordinary. You know, she seemed like the regular person. But the thing that was a little, I guess, a red flag was when she found out that the ex-girlfriend had a restraining order because of that on him.
When she found that out, she tried to run away.
The young lady came to her and told her.
I hate to hear that.
There's always warning signs. There's always something. One slap, one hit, you know, that's how it starts. And you say, oh, it's nothing, and then it turns into something way bigger.
Well, I want to thank you for calling in.
My condolences. Thank you.
And your best friend's family. I hope you continue to listen to the show every Thursday. And I hope the story helps someone that's out here listening. Bringing awareness to the domestic violence. Okay, we have one more caller. Last four is 2362. Caller, are you calling to listen or are you calling to tell your story?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
I could not catch your show online, but I caught it on the phone. This is your sister, XRO, Classy. And I just want to say that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, very proud of you. Keep up the good work. People do need to hear this.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling me, and I appreciate you.
No problem. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Caller, are you calling to listen, or are you calling to hear your story?
Hey, I'm calling. I'm listening.
Okay.
And actually, this is your daughter. Hi, Mommy.
Hi, daughter.
I'm calling because you're doing an awesome job. I love this. And also, I'm calling for all the girls who need to hear this. If you are in a domestic violence relationship, please get out. Everybody who knows us and me, anybody, we just talked to my cousin, my best friend, and this, I would have never thought this would have happened, but it happens to anybody, and it could happen to you. So if you are in a relationship that you need to get out of, don't hesitate. Don't be scared. Get out of it because you could lose your life. My cousin didn't even get to live her life, like her whole life, that she wanted to do everything. Like she wasn't able to do everything, so... think about your life. Don't think about his or hers. It don't matter who you with. Love yourself, because can't nobody love you how you love, how you could love yourself. But you're doing an awesome job, Mommy. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, I love you too. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
I'm going to chime in on one call real quick. I know the show is almost over, but I would like to hear from a caller with the last word of 8833.
Who is us?
Good evening, caller.
Hello.
Are you
Kyrie?
Hi.
I just want to let you know Taylor and I are listening, and I want to say congratulations, and we will be here next Thursday.
Thank you from Cleveland, Ohio. Congratulations. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, everybody, you're listening to the Stop Radio. Tonight's show is against all odds with Renee Gray, co-host Bane, and Keith. We're talking about domestic violence. I hope that everyone is doing something to help themselves. And if you know anybody in a relationship that is not feasible, if they're getting beat on or being abused physically, please encourage them to get out. Yeah. I want to give you the domestic violence hotline one more time. That number is 1-800-779-7733. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to go out with an ad from our sponsor. Have a good night, everyone.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home?
Hello.
That was my hour.
Huh?
What did I say?
I
did everything to this mic. When I tell you I turned it all the way down, I moved.
You probably need to sit in another room.
No, I'm still loud.